While the global scientific dictatorship is busy injecting toxins into our water supply to dumb us down, we're busy injecting reality into society. It's the beginning of the end for the New World Order. Donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com.
I'm David Knight, reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Just before I left for Austin, I took my family to the Smoky Mountains. Now, long before the Europeans named it the Smoky Mountains, the Cherokee had a name for it, and if I pronounce it correctly, it's something like Shaconoque, which means place of the fine particulate smog. No, not actually. That's what the EPA wants you to think. I was surprised to see this graphic on the EPA site where they explain what PM2.5 is. They use the Smoky Mountains as a poster child. Is it really PM2.5 and man-made smog that makes the Smoky Mountains smoky? No. We all know that it isn't, but we see this kind of thing done over and over again, like they did with polar bears on ice floes. Remember that? And of course, Al Gore is telling us that the oceans are rising, but he builds his $9 million mansion in Montecito, California, right on the ocean side. So I don't think he believes that either. But they use these subliminal messages to try to convince us. And they can be quite effective. And speaking of bears, every visitor to the Smoky Mountains gets a handout that looks like this, warning you about black bears. And as my wife was reading that to the small children, I started thinking, a lot of the stuff they were saying about bears could be said about government, especially about the EPA. Let me just read a few things here. With aggressive behavior, the bear, the EPA, is demanding more space. If the bear or EPA continues to follow you, stand your ground. If the EPA gets closer, talk louder or shout at it. Act aggressively. Act together as a group if you have companions. Make yourself look as large as possible. Don't run, don't turn away, and don't feed the EPA. It only encourages further problems. It's David Knight for InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, that was a great piece by David Knight, and love that guy's voice, by the way. He's got a good future here. In fact, just a good future in broadcast. In fact, you know, the whole team here is really just amazing. And it's like every time I come here to host the show, when I'm invited, you know, once or twice a month, there's always new people here. It's amazing because everybody's so good. It's like, you know, InfoWars is just attracting the best of the best. You got Jakari Jackson, you got Badandi. I just met David Ortiz today. I haven't seen his pieces on the show yet, but I met him. And David Knight I met, and Melissa, she's out there. I mean, it's like when I walk into this office, to get to this office, I have to walk through like the hall of who's who of alternative news. It's pretty cool. Actually, Rob Dew's out there, Darren McBreen is out there, Marcos, and the whole team. And then, of course, Aaron is like hiding off in his own like cubbyhole office somewhere else. It's like totally different part of the building. Because, you know, he doesn't want to be disturbed. He's busy. He's always busy working on stuff. He's working till late night. Anyway, it's just a great crew. I'm just happy to be here and to know these people and to have that camaraderie and that trust and that working relationship to be part of this operation. It's really an honor and a privilege. Now, in this segment, here's what we've got. We've got Melissa Malkin is going to be joining us from the Yes on Prop 37 group out of California. And guys, let me know when you got her on the phone, okay? And let me give you the lowdown on what this is all about. Because you know that DuPont and Monsanto and all these big food and chemical giants are fighting so desperately hard against GMO labeling that they've already been caught violating, I think it's Stanford University policy with some of their videos. They got caught. They had to pull their ads off the air because it was a violation. They weren't allowed to do that. Well, now, according to a press release I just got this morning from Stacy, who's on the phone with us, from the California Right to Know group for Prop 37, the No on 37 campaign has been caught now inventing, fabricating false statements from the FDA. false statements and then illegally using the FDA symbol on a mailer. Here, there's a shot of it right there. This false statement here, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says a labeling policy like Prop 37 would be, quote, inherently misleading. That is false. That is fabricated. And they're mailing that out to people in complete violation of all ethics, of even probably law. So we're going to talk to Stacy now to break this down and give you more details on this. Stacy, welcome to the InfoWars Money Bomb. It's good to talk to you again.
So good to talk to you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. I know you are working just as hard as the crew here is working. Tell us about this latest thing where they're just inventing quotes from the FDA and using the FDA logo. What's the deal?
Well, they have no regard for the truth, absolutely no regard. The Proposition 37 opposition is, you know, spending almost $1 million a day bombarding California with an ad campaign of deceit and lies, of which this is just the latest example. And as you said, you know, they just stick the FDA logo on their campaign propaganda with a quote that FDA never said and send it out to voters across the state.
So why don't they just invent a quote from President Obama and say, Obama says GMOs should remain a secret, and put the presidential seal on the envelope and mail that out to people?
Exactly. I know. I'm wondering if we can get away with, you know, saying that the Department of Defense says GMO labeling is the highest priority for the country and stick their seal on it and send it to voters.
Just say it's a matter of national security. I mean,
exactly. I mean, it's just incredible. They have no regard. You know, the law is very clear that you are not allowed to knowingly affix a government seal to documents, and it's punishable by up to 5 years in prison. You know, so it's in the hands of the Department of Justice now to see if they want to investigate it and look into it. But of course, that won't happen before the election. So we're right in a fight here to get the truth to California voters, and just battling an onslaught of an incredible avalanche of lies.
You know, this is the real problem with what's happening. The corruption in America is so off the charts, where you've got people like John Corzine, right, whose organization took billions of dollars from investors like Gerald Celente, and he never got prosecuted, never even got arrested, didn't have to do the perp walk, and is never going to be prosecuted. There's never going to be an investigation. You've got so many issues out there where there's obvious criminal misconduct in other situations, where there's just runaway criminality, like the gun running into Mexico Operation Fast and Furious. And yet nothing ever happens to these people. And what you're bringing up with Prop 37 is really the same thing. It's just runaway, lawless, perhaps outright criminality, and nobody's held accountable. What do you think?
That's about right. You know, as you mentioned, they misrepresented Stanford now 3 times, and it's just an incredible situation. I mean, they put this Dr. Henry Miller, who's with the Hoover Institute, right-wing think tank on Stanford campus, in their ads with Stanford buildings in the background, and identify him as an MD at Stanford. Well, he's not.
Yeah, so that was a lie.
Got in trouble for that. Had to take down the ads, reshoot them.
Wasn't he just working in an office that was on the Stanford campus?
He works at the Hoover Institute. And not only that, he's on TV every hour of every day, all day long, telling voters that Prop 37 makes no sense, which is having an effect on the polls, incredibly. But this guy, most of his commonly decent things that make sense to the rest of us don't make sense to Henry Miller. He is a radical ideologue. He wants to bring DDT back to the United States. He's attacked Rachel Carson. He's written that low levels of nuclear radiation may be beneficial to our health. He wrote a piece about that after Fukushima. I mean, this guy is crazy. And they're putting him in front of California voters saying, trust him. He knows what makes sense and what doesn't, and people are going for it. So we're just shaking our heads saying,
Stacey, I think that your opinions are just outlandish. I think we should have some diet DDT soda. I think we should turn Fukushima into a cancer treatment center where you just walk through
there,
and you're cured of cancer. And I think, you know, they should have like DDT shampoo.
The world according to Henry Miller.
That's the Henry Miller Inc.
Exactly. I love that. And a simple label is too scary, but, you know, DDT and Agent Orange and radiation, not scary. But a label we cannot handle. I mean, it's crazy. I think voters are going to see through it. I really do. I think they are starting to get sick of seeing and hearing ads every 2 minutes. It's starting to question. I did get a phone call today from a woman who said, I haven't paid any attention to Prop 37, but I saw an ad on TV and I noticed it was funded by Monsanto. Can you get me a yard sign? I don't like Monsanto.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it like the world's 10 largest pesticide companies are in fact donating money to the No on 37 campaign?
That's true. The top six funders are the biggest six pesticide companies. And here's what's outrageous. The three of them are European companies that can't grow GMO crops in their own countries. That's two German chemical companies and one Swiss chemical company. Not allowed to grow GMOs there, but they're going to spend millions of dollars trying to convince California that we don't even have a right to know.
So there has never been a more clear division of poison, you know, and the poisoners, the so-called scientific poisoners, versus people who are just trying to protect honest labeling, honest food, honest agriculture, honest parenting, you know, so you can buy foods for your children and you know what's in them. There's never been a more clear division. This is the issue of our time. It's the people versus the corporate poisoners.
It is, and it's really a true test. Do we have a democracy left in this country? Can a people's movement win out? Or I was thinking about writing a piece, can six pesticide companies, one crazy doctor, and pet food really take down a people's movement? And that was Henry Miller's whole thing on TV, was trying to convince people that Prop 37 is confusing because pet food would be labeled.
Well, the big sign with the No on 37 campaign is that their ads don't even mention GMO.
Never, not once.
They won't utter the phrase genetically engineered because they know people would obviously want that labeled. So they use all this obfuscation and this trickery and this deceit and then making up the false quote from the FDA and then violating Stanford University policy and just lying. I mean, these people are evil. If Henry Miller is going to be the spokesperson for this, and if GMOs really cause cancer in humans the way that we've seen they've done in rats, if this continues, Henry Miller may end up killing more people than Adolf Hitler.
Well, I certainly think that Henry Miller is not a friend to children and not a friend to health and not a person who we should even entertain for a second as a credible spokesperson. Yet they've trotted him out. Well, now they've taken him down and they're going to shift their tactics. Now they're showing doctors on TV been claiming that 500 doctors support their position, which is just flat out, again,
fabrication. Just a lie. Yeah, sure. Just make that up.
Most of the major health and doctors groups are supporting GMO labeling, and they're supporting Prop 37, the American Public Health Association, Physicians for Social Responsibility, the California Nurses, all the major health groups.
Well, hey, you know, go back to the ads in the Journal of the American Medical Association in the 1930s. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. There you go. More doctors support DDT than any other pesticide. More doctors support GMO than any other genetically engineered artificial food. I mean, it just never ends. It's just a new poison, new generation, but the same old lies.
So how do we wake people up? I mean, that's the question. How do we get the truth out in the midst of this incredible bombardment of lies on TV that do manipulate people's thoughts? But we have, of course, a huge network online, and we just have to all be telling everyone we know. And for people not in California, calling everyone you know in California and telling them, pay attention to this. This is hugely important. We can win, but only if every single one of us gets out there telling the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, you know, one of your biggest allies in this fight, Stacey, has been InfoWars. Alex Jones has covered GMOs exhaustively. They've published my stories on GMO. They've published videos. They've had other guests on GMO. Jeffrey Smith, Ronnie Cummins, many, many others. In fact, you've been a guest on the show, I believe, when I was hosting before.
Yes.
The InfoWars is a big ally for GMOs. So, folks, please support InfoWars. They need your financial assistance to keep doing this job. So go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or call this number to donate now. 888-253-3139 and help support this organization that is speaking the truth about GMOs and demanding that consumers simply have the right to know that in a free market, we should have honest labels so that we can make an informed decision. It's the basis of a free market economy is actually having information. Otherwise, it's a mystery of what you're buying. I mean, think about this, Stacey. What do they want next? If they don't want GMOs labeled, are they going to go for saying, well, the ingredients list should be removed from foods, and that should just be a giant question mark? Like, you can't even know what you're eating at all.
Well, their opinion seems to be that we're not smart enough to be able to handle information, so they might go for that. And, of course, they told us many stories when nutrition labeling came up at all about how the sky would fall and grocery costs would go through the roof. And they're trying that, of course, in California. And it's very cynical because they're hitting low-income communities with the message that the grocery costs will go up by hundreds of dollars a year. And they don't even, when they debate with us in a real public forum, they don't even bring that up because they know they can't even defend it in any way. But that doesn't matter when you're going to go up on TV and just say it's true. You don't have to defend it.
No, look, they're printing the labels anyway. It doesn't cost any more to have text on the label. I mean, they're printing the label. The ink is already on the label. I mean, come on. It's a joke that it's going to cost any more. And besides, food prices are going up on their own anyway. They're going up because of the devaluation of the currency due to Federal Reserve fiat currency creation policy. You know, food prices are going up because of the drought, because so many crops failed. You know, food prices are going up no matter what, but definitely not because they had to print a few lines of text on a label.
Right.
Printing that label anyway. Well, all right. So what else, Stacey? Give us your website so that people can go to your website if they want to just get on board with labeling GMOs.
Yes, please. Check out our website, yeson37.org, and you can sign up for our listserv. We're sending daily emails to help folks figure out how to plug in. Today we sent one that said orange jumpsuits for the No on 37 campaign because they've now looks like they may have actually violated federal law and could end up behind bars. We can only hope and dream. But we do send out some fun stuff on our listserv actions, how you can plug in. We're doing phone banking. We're asking folks to please donate. Every dollar counts to help us get up on the air. And you can find out all that on yeson37.org.
All right. Excellent. Yeson37.org. And of course, you can continue to see editorial coverage of that issue here on InfoWars, the website InfoWars.com. And of course, I'm covering over at naturalnews.com on a pretty regular basis there, too. We have a lot of focus on this issue. Stacey, are you okay to take a call or two? Do you have a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's do that. Now, to the callers, I know you may have called in on the preparedness topic, and I apologize. We're shifting gears here, but we're going to go back to preparedness after this segment. But if you have a question for Stacey, I'd like you to give us that question about food labeling and about GMO and about Monsanto. Let's talk about that. I know we've got, Nicole in Michigan on the line. Nicole, are you there, and do you have a question? Hello, Nicole. All right, Nicole's not with us. Mary in Philly, are you with us, Mary?
I am.
Hi there, Mary. How you doing?
Hi. I'm all right. How are you?
Doing good. We've got Stacey with us from the Yes on 37 campaign. Do you have a question or comment about GMOs?
Yes, actually, I'm really happy about how InfoWars has expanded. I've been with you guys for years, and I'm really happy that Alex Jones' message is really starting to, you know, get some speed. But my thing is, I'm an African-American woman, and my issue is getting my community to understand where we are at as a society, as a community, and get them to understand that we have to stop eating these poisons and start supporting things like Proposition 37. And how do I get the message out to them and try to convince them that this stuff needs to happen?
Well, let me ask you, Mary, when you talk to people in your neighborhood right now, are they aware of GMOs?
Most of them are not. They don't even think about it. Don't it's not even a consideration.
So do you try to teach them about it, and what's the reaction?
Absolutely. I try to teach them about it, and usually the answer is just food. It's just food.
Wow.
And it's not just food. There's just a lack of information.
Let me ask our guest, Stacey. Stacey, are there any specific strategies for the African-American community to get on board up to speed on GMOs?
Well, a couple of things. I think that GMOs are a mystery to a lot of American consumers of all demographics because we just haven't heard about it. It's been hidden from all of us. And so that is one challenge that we have in California here is just educating people about what genetic engineering is. And we always talk to them about how it's the genetic material of one species being forced into the DNA of another in ways that can't occur in nature. And, you know, one interesting thing that we do see in the polls is that support among the African-American community is far, far higher than support among the white community for the proposition. So there
That's not surprising because the African-Americans that I talk to are also very skeptical of vaccines. They know that government-mandated vaccines, I mean, look at the history of vaccine experiments and medical experiments done on black folks. I mean, how much more do you need to know not to trust the system?
Yeah, right, and skeptical of corporations and just saying, like, let's give us the choice. So I think, you know, that's a really positive thing. But again, that's just educating that we need to be doing about what GMOs even are and where they are in food. And we do have a lot of info on our website at yeson37.org about in the facts section about what genetic engineering is, what kinds of foods. And it's mostly processed foods, but we are seeing the first whole foods arrive in supermarkets. For example, there's a new sweet corn that's now on sale in Walmart that's been engineered to actually produce an insecticide within every cell of the corn itself. So it's pesticides not on the food where you can wash it off, but in the food.
Yeah.
And I think when people find that out, it becomes clear as an example, because it's the same corn that we've always had all our lives, only as of this summer, it's not the same corn. It looks the same, but it's this engineered corn that absolutely should be labeled. And,
if
Prop 37 passes, it would just say genetically engineered on the bin.
Well, let me go back to Mary, if you're still on the phone. Mary, what would your message be to the other African-American listeners who are trying to do the same thing you're doing, wake people up about GMOs?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, what would your message be? There's a lot of people listening and watching right now, many African-Americans, of course. What would your message be to them that they can use to help in their communities and their families to wake people up?
I would just say that, at least in my community, we have a history of eating bad already, and this is a new level that is not just, you know, it's transcending all communities, and it's just time to wake up and ensure that the next generation, I mean, I'm a young person myself, and I want to ensure that my younger sisters, my children, are going to be able to eat nutritious food that's going to actually help them be a better person. And that's basically what I would love for my community to really understand.
Well, Mary, you seem like a very thoughtful and well-spoken person. I believe that if you hold some meetings and share that message with people, I think a lot of people would listen to you. And so I appreciate your courage and your call today, and I wish you the best in getting that message out. Keep up the good work. We got to get this message out. Now, so thank you for your call, Mary. Very good points there. And getting back to Stacy. So this is coming down to the wire here. The enemies of honest food are spending $1 million a day, you said, to make sure that people don't know what they're eating. That's an astonishing amount of money.
It is. The good news is they can't actually probably really spend much more. I mean, they're already saturating the airwaves. The challenge for us is we've got enough money to get up on the air, and we do have money to run ads, but it's going to be tough to be competitive.
Well, we're sending you a check pretty soon, by the way.
Awesome.
We've been raising money for you,
that.
But it's a drop in the bucket compared to Monsanto bucks. I mean, we can't compete with millions of dollars. You know what? They donated like $6 million just Monsanto, I think, right? Something like that?
Yeah, $7 million. They're the largest funder by far. We can't compete, but we can. We need to get at least enough to get our message on the air, and then we have to just be blasting our online networks as much as possible, getting the word out to everyone.
And we will.
And getting people outside the state to call people that you know in California and talk to them about this. We're going to have a huge phone banking effort, so you can sign up for that on our website.
Okay, that's on yeson37.org. And again, folks, support InfoWars, because InfoWars is on board with GMO, the issue of GMO. And go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, make a donation right now. This organization right here, Stacy, just so you know, I don't know how much you track InfoWars overall, But they not only cover GMOs, they cover dangers in vaccines. They cover liberty and freedom. They cover what I call real environmentalism, not the sort of politically faked environmentalism to control people, but how do we actually save the planet from the poisoners, from the GMO, which is self-replicating genetic pollution, you know, from the deadly chemicals, the deadly mercury, the deadly fluoride, all these other things. You know, really, InfoWars is legitimate environmentalism, even though a lot of people don't think of it that way. That's another thing that this group stands for.
Really great information, and I really just want to thank you for being such a pioneer, you know, both with your website, Mike, and also InfoWars, for educating people about genetically engineered foods, because that's really where I think the movement is coming from, the fact that people are waking up and people are going online to search out information and finding out about things that we didn't even ever think about before. And I think that's really what's driven what's happening here in California, because this is a true people's movement. I mean, it
Absolutely.
Came from the ground up. It did not come from environmental groups. The opposition says it came from trial lawyers. That's ridiculous. It came from moms out on the street petitioning to get this on the ballot, saying, we want to know what's in our food. And these moms, many of them have seen their kids get allergies or get other chronic diseases, and they're starting to do research to say, why? Why are so many kids getting sick? And they're finding out information about chemicals, concerns about genetic engineering, and saying, like, just give us a label.
Stacey, we only have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you that question about environmentalists. Where are the environmentalists on this issue of GMO? They're all MIA on GMO. OMG. That's crazy. But they should be the most outspoken people about the genetic pollution and how that could alter the ecosystems of the planet. But they're nowhere to be heard from. At least, I mean, I'm not aware of any big environmental group getting behind GMO labeling or questioning the safety of GMOs or anything. What's going on?
Well, we are seeing some major groups come forward. Pesticide Action Network.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, Environmental Working Group is doing great stuff.
True.
Center for Food Safety. So we are seeing, and, you know, more would be great. I mean,
like Greenpeace. Course, where's Greenpeace on this?
You know, Greenpeace has not been doing GMO work in the U.S. for years. They still do in Europe. They've been helping, though, behind the scenes. I mean, there's a lot of groups care about this issue. They don't have a lot of money to work on it. And this is sort of now what's happening in California, a revival of making this a forefront of the environmental movement.
I think that
will happen in the wake of this. And that we will see renewed effort across the country for GMO labeling and for testing and for, you know, making a common sense system for dealing with GMOs.
Well, yeah, because if you understand anything about ecosystems and sustainable life on our planet, you know, like an oil spill in the Gulf, that's bad, but it can be remediated over time, perhaps with bacteria, for example. And it dilutes, and it again, it's highly toxic, but it dilutes and it goes away over time. It's bad, but not nearly as bad as self-replicating pollution, which is GMO. That stuff, it's like once you unleash it into the environment, you can't put it back in the box because it contaminates other seeds that then replicate and grow. And now you could be threatening the entire future of agriculture. We don't know, but it's a grand experiment. And why are we doing an experiment on all of the planet? Doesn't make any sense.
Without even giving consumers a choice. That's why it's so important to do this now. And we have a chance to get this done in just a few weeks in California, but only if everyone comes up to the plate now and gets in the game.
Absolutely. Well, Stacey Malkin, I want to thank you for your time, for your courage, for your dedication to this issue. And I want to encourage all those watching to not only support InfoWars at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, but also go to YesOn37.org and be part of this consumer revolution for honest food. Thank you for joining us, Stacey.
Thanks so much, Mike. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Great to have you on. Man, I love that group. They're getting some things done. They're rocking the boat. They're rattling the cages of the status quo. That's what we do around here. Yeah. And all of us do it. In fact, David Ortiz has a piece coming up in just a minute. It's he hosts a Man on the Street report and gets some local citizens' views about the Obama phone. I can't stop laughing about that one. And the Lifeline program. Some people are screaming Obama phone into my ear. Thank you guys. Oh, man, I should have brought my Muppet. You know, the puppet on that Label It song? I should have brought that guy in here. We could have done the Obama phone lip sync contest. Yes, exactly. All right, stay with us, folks, right here on the InfoWars Money Bomb. This is Mike Adams. We'll be right back after this video with David Ortiz. Talk to you in a minute. All right.
Got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
As the Obama phone video continues to go viral, the video has prompted many Americans to criticize the welfare state and the pitiful results most welfare programs have produced. One such program is the Lifeline Benefit Program, which has received rave reviews from the Obama phone lady and other low-income residents.
I have about like six in my purse now. Each and every one of these phones work. At home, I know I have about 30, and all of them are on.
Do you think it's a good idea for the federal government to charge $3 on your cell bill to give people free cell phones?
I don't think so. I think a cell phone's not a necessity, so I don't think the government has this right to do that.
Not at all. That's completely garbage. I mean, I pay $100 plus a month for my cell phone. I don't see why they're handing out free cell phones to other people.
No.
Why not?
Well, I think it's a product. If people want to buy it and can afford to buy it, they should. But I don't think the government should be handing them out.
Handing somebody a cell phone is an opportunity to get a job because it's an opportunity to call back your employer. There is no more public phones. So you can't just ask them to shove them in the public phones. They've been reduced by 90% in this country. So I think there should be a program. But every American who has a cell phone to pay $3 without being asked, that's not American in my book.
So it should be optional.
It should be optional.
I don't think so. I think that's a controversial question. But I think basic human rights like food, shelter, health care should be given by the government, but not commodities like cell phones, no.
Yeah, you see, I do have an issue with people reducing really complicated issues down to quick sound bites, in that generally people that are receiving government benefits aren't like living the high life and living in comfort. So I don't really have a problem with following the edict of helping the people that need the most help.
I do. I think it's important to give a little to get a lot, and obviously we've all gotten a lot. I went to public school. I drive on the roads. I ride my bike in bike lanes, so I do believe in giving money so that other people can have something that I already have.
Generally speaking, I don't have a problem with providing poor people with cell phones, especially when those poor people are women with children, and without cell phones, they find themselves in danger. We don't have pay phones anymore, so people can't just like walk around the corner and use a phone. So a low cost, bare bones cell phone for safety only makes sense.
The FCC, which oversees this initiative, says phone ownership among this group has increased by an estimated 12% since the program began in the 1980s. According to the Cato Institute, since President Barack Obama took office, federal welfare assistance has increased by an estimated 41%. The organization also notes that over the past half century, both the federal government and local governments have spent an estimated $15 trillion trying to combat poverty. However, during this time, the poverty rate has only decreased by about 4%. Is that stealing?
I think it is, because it's not the citizens' rights. I mean, it's not the obligation of the citizens to pay for other people's cell phones.
It's stealing in a sense. I mean, not... in short, yes, it is.
What if it went to poor people?
I mean, I'm not the richest guy either. I mean, I'm not poor, but I mean, I don't have a lot of money, and I spend some of my money on my cell phone, so why can't other people?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think we all get a lot from the government. So I got roads, I got public school, etc. So I think public services are for the good of everybody.
Well, I don't know if it's stealing. I think it's probably excessive spending on the federal government's part.
I think as far as $3 go, you know, I don't think it's stealing from the American public. But I do think, I don't know, I guess you would have to, you public should be informed is what I'm saying. So you should have access to the information of where it's going. If you don't, then I don't know if I would want to label it stealing, but I would label it wrong.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Adams, the Health Ranger, here hosting InfoWars Money Bomb. And wow, what a cool opportunity. We just heard from Stacey Malkin on the Yes on 37 campaign out of California. And we've got callers on the line. Thank you for holding callers. We are going to go to those callers in a minute. But first, I got to show you something. Can you get a shot of this? These are my goats, a couple of them. And I've discovered that... See those goats? I've discovered that one of them really loves goji berries. And her name is Nadia, and she's now been nicknamed Nadia the Berry Thief because she will eat all the berries before the other goats. And we milk Nadia twice a day. In fact, I got to go back and milk her this evening. And there's a Nigerian dwarf goat is what Nadia is. And you're seeing Yuki and Nadia right there. So goat chi berries. Good one. Rob Dew just came up with that one. Goat chi berries. That's interesting because in Chinese medicine, goji berries are, of course, a good source of chi. In addition, I was wondering why they're climbing on the walls and trying to eat my pants when I'm walking around in the goat area. Anyway, they do literally try to eat everything. So you gotta keep your eyes on goats if you have them. But look, the reason I showed you that is because I want you to know that even as I'm advocating, all of us get prepared and learn gardening skills and learn how to raise backyard chickens and learn all these self-sufficiency skills. I'm doing the same thing too. I'm doing it. And it's a lot of fun. I'm learning tons of things. I'd never raised goats before in my life. I didn't grow up on a farm. Had to learn that. And the first thing you learn when you raise goats is you got to learn how to build a fence to keep the goats in. So how do you build a fence that actually doesn't move a lot, even when the soil moisture changes through drought and rains and so on? And I'm learning a lot being here in Texas. And Texas folks are ingenious. They have a way to solve every problem with animals and fences and barns and agriculture. They are a very... well-informed group of people. I'm happy to be among them, and it's a good area to be in. Now, I want to get back to callers. We've got Robert, actually from Texas, on the line. If you're still on the line there, sir. Robert, can you hear me?
How are you doing?
Robert, yeah, you're on the show. Hi.
Hey, hi. I live here in Austin, south of Slaughter, and point being is when I first started prepping, I had no experience like you. And I learned, and it was a messed up time. In other words, I made a lot of mistakes, but now I've gotten better at it. And now I'm starting to really become sufficient. It does take time, and you will make mistakes.
Absolutely, it does take time. What were some of the biggest things that you learned along that journey?
Well, I'm still learning, but one of them is I went over to Home Depot, and I got the mats for my grass because it was dead anyway. And so I put the mats down thinking, put the dirt on there and I'll grow. Well, guess what happened? The grass started growing and it got through those mats. I didn't till. So that was just one mistake. And then another mistake I made is I planted my lettuce too late in the year. And now I got lettuce popping up.
Yeah, and it's bolting into seeds and everything now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yeah, and I've got my 1 month supply of food that I got through eFoods Direct. you know, just in case, and I've got my little filter. And so, but it's a frustrating thing, but you just got to stick with it, because once it hits the fan, at least you're prepared.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You're going to fail a lot of times learning some of these skills. If you ever really tried to grow some of your own food, you know, for those of you watching and listening, when I was in South America, there was a point where I was literally growing 70% of my diet. That's the most I've ever done. I'm not at that level now, not even close. But to do that, it requires a lot of work, and I had help doing that. I had workers helping. So to do it on your own, man, makes you realize what the pioneers went through, doesn't it, Robert?
Yeah, yes, it does. And I really don't know what else to say, but even if you're living in the city, get if you're on you have a balcony, start growing your own food, because it does taste a lot better. That's pretty much it, Mike, and I enjoy your articles.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your call, sir. Good to hear from you, and some good reminders on preparedness. That is number one. If you're not doing it now, if you're not out of the city right now, you're behind schedule. Get out of the city. I cannot emphasize enough how much the cities could become death zones literally overnight. In fact, you should get that book, the new book by James Wesley Rawls, The Patriots. I don't know the title of the new book, but it's the newest Patriots book by James Wesley Rawls. I'm reading that right now, and of course, it's filled with practical information. And of course, you know, InfoWars is always giving you lots of good information on preparedness. Let's go to another caller, Scott Free in Denver. Am I getting that right? Are you there?
You got that right.
All right. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Another wonderful day. It's a wonderful day in Liberty when we got a 48-hour money bomb for InfoWars.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so
some of the topics I wanted to touch on you with Mike is picking people up to the GMOs and getting prepared. I have more than a couple months' supply of food. I secured 80 acres of land, and I'm trying to get out there and put a structure on it now.
Well, that sounds like you're ahead of the game. You have a water supply already there?
Yeah, we're zoned for a well. Again, I have to get out there and make sure I got Berkey water filters until then.
And it says here you're in the Colorado area, is that right?
Yep, we're in Denver, Colorado.
So you have, how deep's your water out there?
My land's out in Trinidad, so I'm not exactly certain what the technical distance is, but I know it's going to cost a few $1,000s, which I'm already planning for.
Yeah, for sure. We had a well drilled here in Central Texas, and that can run, you know, $12,000, $14,000, but the water quality is good if you go down that deep.
Exactly.
So what else have you learned in your preparedness plans that you'd like to pass along to our listeners?
Well, everybody out there, be patient, especially with your family. You love them and you want to beat them over the head with what you know and what you've learned. But again, it's like approaching a mouse or a rat and you want to feed them something and you don't want to make large movements to scare them away. I'm getting people that I love and care about to start coming around to the truth and waking up.
Yeah, you're right, because they're not going to have time. I mean, the collapse could come suddenly, and you know, it's not good enough for them to just turn to you and say, oh, you were right, but they're still unprepared.
One question I do have for you, Mike, concerning my mom. She's believed her doctor for going on 15 years now. She's got fibromyalgia and high blood pressure. I want to start getting her to where she knows she can get off those medications. And especially in an upcoming collapse scenario, I don't want her going through withdrawals then. I want to, you know, get some resources. And I know Dr. Tenpenny, but in your advice, what route do I want to go with?
Well, what's her diet like right now? Is it poor, good, great? What is it?
I would say it's the middle of the road. We're trying to get both my parents on nothing but organic food, just like myself.
All right. Well, first of all, you know, I'm not a doctor, so you know, disclaimer there. But just generally speaking, fibromyalgia is often associated with a magnesium deficiency. That's one thing to really look at, getting a high quality source of magnesium. And the correct chemical bond of magnesium that you really want to intake in a dietary supplement is typically, I believe, magnesium orotate. You don't want a magnesium oxide, because that's a sort of the cheap rock version of magnesium. You know, if you're taking a magnesium supplement, get a good quality magnesium. Orotate is one of the forms. Oxide is the cheap form. There's some other forms of magnesium. You can search on my website, Natural News, for the different forms to see what's best for you. That's one thing. The other thing is, you know, get onto a superfood and get her onto a superfood. I mean, and make sure she's drinking that daily. You know, Enerfood that InfoWars sells is very good with chocolate. And so if you could get a cacao powder or a chocolate superfood, combine it with the Enerfood, and believe it or not, blend it with an avocado and some milk. I like to use almond milk. And you could throw a banana in there to sweeten it up, or use coconut sugar is the best new sugar that's high in minerals. If she likes that, she'll drink it every day. Maybe you or another family member could make it for her. And the nutrient value of that superfood is immense. It will help in supporting so many conditions, not just the ones that you mentioned.
Sure thing.
So, any other questions?
Well, I love when Alex has you on, and we got to keep doing what we're doing. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I put a hedge of protection around all the InfoWars crew and everybody connected with the Liberty Movement.
Thank you, Scott Free. Thank you for your prayers. They are much appreciated here, and by the whole team and myself as well. Thank you very much. Thank you for your call. Good points there on the call. So let's go to some other callers. Matt in Indiana. Matt, are you on the line? Can you hear me?
Mike Adams, yes. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can, Matt. Welcome to the InfoWars Money Bomb.
All right. Hello out there to all the InfoWarriors. I just had a question. You did a piece on Natural News about textured vegetable protein.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been a vegetarian for 11 years now, and looking at Enerfood or eFoods Direct, you know, one of their main ingredients in their food is textured vegetable protein. So not to try and cause any conflicts between that, but I was just wondering what your suggestion is and what you have found out about that. And then also I had a question about cilantro and aluminum from the chemtrails. And then also like these heirloom plants you buy from Home Depot, you plant, they grow, and then they don't produce any fruit on them.
Oh, like hybrid plants is what you're talking about.
No, heirloom.
Oh, heirloom.
Yeah, I buy heirloom tomato plants from like Home Depot or wherever, and then when I plant them, they grow, but they just don't produce anything. So is it like
that's all? That's usually a mineral deficiency in the soil. It can that's usually what that is. That's pretty easy to solve in plants. Just go online and search for tomato plants not flowering, and you'll typically get a list of minerals that's deficient in. I don't happen to know what mineral that might be, zinc or boron or something like that. Like melons need a lot of boron, for example, to taste sweet.
Okay.
I
had a question about cilantro. I mean, it's a good chelator of metals
yes.
in the body. But if you grow that in the garden and there's aluminum in the air, aluminum in the soil, does it absorb that aluminum? So then whenever you eat that to get rid of the metals in your body, you're just intaking more metals.
Well, okay, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. Cilantro does bind to lots of metals, including aluminum, including arsenic and mercury as well. Truth is, there's a lot of arsenic in the soil everywhere. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of scrutiny about arsenic in certain foods, but people are typically blind to the fact that there's actually arsenic in everything. There's arsenic in powdered milk. There's arsenic in the vegetables you're getting at the store. There's arsenic in bananas. You know,
it's bound.
Right. And it's not just mined out of the ground like a metal rock and, you know, dissolved in sulfuric acid or whatever. It's actually bound into the plant. So cilantro, even if there's some arsenic or some aluminum in it and you take that into your body, you're not likely to absorb that arsenic because it's going to stay bound to the cilantro that you're actually consuming. It's going to pass through you. And the same thing is true with chlorella, by the way. All chlorella grown everywhere in the world, and it's only really produced in four countries. That's Japan, Taiwan, China, and India. And there are issues in every country. Taiwan's probably the cleanest source of chlorella that you can get. And in fact, Enerfood uses Taiwan chlorella, so it's the cleanest source of chlorella in a superfood. I happen to know all this stuff because I research this stuff day in and day out. But chlorella, even if it has a little bit of arsenic in it, a little bit of aluminum, is not that big of a deal because it binds to it and carries it through your body. So,
okay, and I guess just the last question was on the textured vegetable protein. Is that soy, and is all soy you know, genetic. I drink hemp milk, so I don't do the soy milk, and I, you know, not really the almond milk, but I try to do the hemp milk and, you know, the soy, the textured vegetable protein. Have you found out any more information about that? Because I know you're trying to feed it to the wild animals around there, and nothing would eat it.
Yeah, I did do a lot of experiments with some TVP before. Most TVP, as you're talking about textured vegetable protein, is from soy, and most of it is from genetically modified soy. But there may be sources of TVP that are non-GMO. I'm sure there are. And I haven't really studied eFoods Direct in particular. That's not, you know, I don't promote eFoods Direct. They're not my sponsor. I haven't really studied them. But as a general rule, I would say any company that you buy from, if there's TVP in it, if there's corn in it, if there's soy in it, you need to call that company and find out if it's GMO or non-GMO, and you can't just take their word for it. I don't mean Eat Foods Direct, because they're a high-integrity business, but I mean, in general, you can't just take everybody's word for it. You got to demand, where's the lab test that shows that that food is not GMO? And I haven't, you know, I haven't asked Eat Foods Direct that question, and it's not really my business to. But if you're a customer of theirs, it's your business to do that. So it's probably a good thing to ask, and so they can provide that information and just clear away any kind of doubts that you might have by raising that question. So I would just ask that question of everybody I buy food from, if it's TVP or corn. If it's organic, it's going to be totally non-GMO, and that's the best way to go. But organic food is more expensive, and I know a lot of the storable food is not organic. So anytime it's non-organic, just as a general rule, you want to ask them for certificates that they have no GMOs. Just a good general rule. So thanks for your question. Does that help answer your GMO question?
Yes. And then, but even if it's not GMO, the soy has the estrogen content.
The what content?
Estrogen.
Oh, the estrogen content. Yeah, well, soy has estrogen mimickers in it, but the real issue with soy extracts like TVP is actually the way it's extracted, usually with hexane. Hexane extraction is found in soy proteins that are used in some infant formulas. And I don't like that hexane extraction. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to ask, and you want to do business with the organizations that you trust and that are going to provide that documentation, just as a general rule. It's just, you know, just a good business practice, and it's a good practice as a consumer. So anyway, I hope that clears it up for you. I hope I'm not getting too technical with all this food science stuff. But anyway, does that answer your question?
Yes, sir, man. Thanks a lot. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. You bet. Happy to. Thank you for your questions. We got into some detail on that. Anyway, what do we have here? Definitely several minutes left. We're going to take some more calls here. But before we do that, if you appreciate the value of what you're getting from InfoWars, be sure to donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Do that. Just go to the website. Vote with your dollars for information that you believe in, for information where we, all of us here, we always try to tell the truth. We're not 100% accurate. We're probably like 99 point something percent accurate. And when we make a mistake, we admit it and we correct it. But we try to tell the truth. We try to empower people. We try to give you information that makes you healthier, better informed, better able to survive what might be coming our way. And InfoWars is leading that charge. So you can also donate by phone. Call now at 888-253-3139. Again, that number is 888-253-3139, or go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Now we've got Lori on the phone from Phoenix. Lori, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just listened to the show all day.
Awesome. that's a fun day. Grab some healthy snacks and tune in, right?
Right. I just wanted to, of course, give thanks to Alex and you. I woke up about a year and a half ago. So I kind of already, you know, I think I was half awake. But I wanted to say, a lot of people call in and ask what they can do to do something other than just have all the information and not do anything. I actually found a couple groups of people that started something here with organic gardening, and a couple of them are knowing what's going on, knowing what's coming, and so they want to start like an actual community that shares their gifts and shares their food instead of, you know, using GMO food and
sounds
and
like
all
a
that
good idea.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think that's a good idea. I don't know how to garden to save my life, so I'm trying to learn.
Well, you just used the right term, garden to save your life. That skill can literally save your life. So you're on the right path, and you're doing it with a local group then, right?
Yes, yes.
Excellent. That's a great idea. Everybody, we should encourage others to do the same thing.
Yes. I'm not plugging anything, but I just want to say I became an article writer for an online print thing, and that's where I voice my opinion on things that are going on. So you'd be surprised what you can do when you really start thinking outside of the box, outside of your normal life.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you have a blog site or something you want to share?
No, it's the Examiner here in Phoenix that I write for.
Okay.
So, you know, just if people really start just thinking outside of their comfort zone, they might be amazed at what doors open up.
That's true. You raise a really good point that this is not an academic exercise just to become an expert in, you know, alternative information, which is really more and more mainstream information. It's not just so we can sit around and impress each other with how much we know about the Bilderbergers or whatever the case may be. This is about action. This is about making a positive change. This is about surviving. This is about peaceful revolution. We want to make changes for the better. That's what revolution really means, to help us move forward and revolve the system into a new system that is improved. And we can, you know, well, in the case of the Constitution, to revolve all the way 360 degrees back to the system that we know worked, the Bill of Rights, for example. But it's funny, in a lot of philosophy, they talk about the spiral, where you're returning to the same concepts, but now at a higher level. So we're returning to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but now expressed in a more profound way in a more advanced society, let's say. But the Bill of Rights is the core that we keep coming back to, and it's got to be. Free speech has got to be the core, you know, private property rights, the right to be secure in your person and property and so on. All of these things, the right to keep and bear arms, for example. All of these things must be essential elements, even as we spiral and evolve and grow and add layers of complexity to society and, you know, embrace new technologies and expand our awareness and all of these things that we do as human beings attempting to move forward as a civilization. You know, it's a big deal. But anyway, I got off track with the caller there, but thank you, Lori, for your call about gardening. That's very good information. And we have just 2 minutes left. I want to take one more call, but before we do that, coming up in just 2 minutes or so, we've got a short video of the Money Bomb auction and some of the gifts that are available for with your donation. So they are giving away some good items for you and a few auction items that are available to help raise money for this organization that is doing such great work in what's now mainstream news. This is the new mainstream. So let's go to, is it Ed in Arizona? Ed, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
All right, yeah, I can. Welcome to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Funny, I'm actually in Tucson, so not far from the last caller, but I know you're not a medical doctor, you don't give medical advice, but what would you say about psoriasis and skin issues?
Skin issues are usually typically a result of, it's an inflammation symptom that's expressed in the skin, and it typically goes along with inflammation of the large intestine, believe it or not. There's a very strong link between skin health and large intestine health. Typically, these kinds of skin conditions can be, maybe in about half the cases, they can be eliminated with a healthy intake of omega-3 fatty acids, healthy oils. Sometimes there are also some mineral deficiencies. Typically, zinc is associated with skin health. So if you're lacking zinc and you're lacking omega-3s, you're very likely to develop skin conditions. It doesn't mean that those things are a cure for everybody, but they can in many people resolve the issue so you don't have those symptoms anymore. But more importantly, you probably have large intestine issues. And for most people, and again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just saying for most people, those large intestine inflammation issues are derived from the dietary intake of gluten. So there are a lot of reasons not to eat wheat, not to eat gluten. You might want to try 30 days without gluten and see what happens and see if it affects your skin condition. It's not something that is intuitively linked, but try it. You might be amazed. Does that information help there?
Yeah, I just want to give thanks to Natural News and all the alternative media for helping me get off pharmaceutical drugs and junk food. It's been like my life has changed so much for the better. So I just wanted to thank you guys.
Wow. Thank you. That's great to hear. That's just, that really makes my day just to hear that, you know. We don't hear from, I don't hear from a lot of people a lot of the times. I just keep writing and educating. It's nice to hear the impact in your life and how it's helped. So thank you for that. And thank you for your calls. We've got a short video straight ahead. We'll be right back after this video. I'll be here with you. Stay tuned.
It's time once again for our annual Money Bomb, our 48-hour broadcast to raise $1 million for our operation. But for our donators, we do have special gifts. With a donation of $365, you get the limited edition InfoWars Money Bomb t-shirt. With a donation of $500, you get not only the t-shirt, but also 5 DVDs. And with a donation of $1,000, you get the t-shirt, the DVDs, and the limited edition InfoWars.